with information on the latest developments in assistive technology and initiatives from the studios of 2RPH in Sydney. RPH Australia brings you AbleQuest. Hello, I'm Marnie Roper. October is the month for focusing on mental health issues. This year, for the first time, Sydney is hosting the Big Anxiety Festival of Arts and Science and People. The brainchild of Professor Jill Bennett, the festival runs from September the 20th to November the 11th over several hubs across the Greater Sydney area. Professor Bennett believes that the arts can benefit mental health, promote empathy and decrease stigma. So she has appointed several ambassadors to help her promote the events. At the launch of the festival on September the 20th at the University of New South Wales Paddington campus, Barbara Sullivan spoke with three of the ambassadors. Today's program features her interview with Dr. Deborah Keedahan, an artist and psychologist focusing on dignity and disability. She asked Deborah what she sees as her role as an ambassador to the festival.
I see an ambassador's role very much as it is the interface between the event and the general public. And they reach out to the general public. They represent an aspect because no single individual can represent the whole event, because especially with the Big Anxiety Festival, there is so much to it that really it would not be possible for one single individual to be over the whole thing and to be in all places at all times. So consequently, what I see the ambassador's role as is to present their perspective of the festival, of the issues being discussed, and also their particular part in the festival.
Well, let's talk about a couple of those things. What do you see the festival as representing?
I think the most important thing is increased public awareness. Also, it's understanding and education, knowledge. You know, the topic is big anxiety, and it is about mental health issues. Mental health is, for far too long, been a topic that has been pushed under the carpet, but it is something that needs to be spoken about. But there are all different parts to mental health. Mm. And I think all too often, society has such a negative perspective on it. It's an essential part of everyday life. And I think what this festival is very much doing is illustrating how it is an integral part of day-to-day living, and we need to be comfortable talking about it.
Do you think it will have an impact?
Yes, it will. Yes, it has. And there are so many points in which this festival is active. There are so many hubs. There are so many parts to it. So the general public can access these areas, these points. They can choose what is of particular interest to them, go to that particular event.
And a lot of them are free, aren't they?
Oh, yes, most of them. And the level of sensitivity and awareness to accessibility that has been shown for this festival, that is an aspect of mental health, engagement in society, with society.
And embracing the true notion of inclusion.
Oh,
and
yes.
Making it accessible is just one part of that. Yes.
Yes.
So talk to me a little bit about what your role is and what you're participating in and what you're driving.
Well, apart from being an ambassador, I have two roles. One is a performance one. I'm participating in the Awkward Conversations.
Beautifully named.
Yes.
We all have them.
Yes. And for me, the Awkward Conversations is allowing people the environment in which to talk about things, to ask questions that always been too afraid to ask, and to know that you're in a safe environment, that you can allay your concerns, your fears, and meet those curiosities and questions that you have about different aspects of subjects that are are being addressed in the awkward conversations. So my particular role in that is pertaining to physical difference, because the viewers, the listeners won't know, because it's a radio, that I have achondroplasia dwarfism. And so I am very visually different from the general public. Quite often it can be referred to as a disability. But as I say, my dwarfism does not disable me. What disables me is people's attitudes to my dwarfism.
Yes.
Often people feel uncomfortable, they feel fearful, they feel anxious around difference. And so for me, the awkward conversations is possibility for people to allay those fears, those concerns, those anxieties, and so hence break down some of those barriers. So that is one role that I'm playing. So that's a performance. Another is as a visual artist, and I have a piece, it's a sculpture, and it's a life-size sculpture at the Museum of Applied Arts and Sciences, formerly known as the Powerhouse.
Right. Describe it.
It's of interest technologically because it is a life-size 3D print sculpture. Yes.
What is the subject?
Me.
Right.
The name of it is Little Big Woman Condescension, and it is three aspects of an image of me that the figures are adopting a stance that is all too often adopted by people when talking to me, of condescension.
So the statue is set on a pedestal.
It's actually designed that the plinth is at a height where the average height person within a certain spectrum would always be eye to eye with one of the figures.
Right.
So it also reverses the usual relationship between the viewer of an artwork and the subject of the artwork.
Mm-hmm.
So the viewer becomes viewed. In walking around the artwork, they're constantly in eye contact.
So they are feeling anxious?
You see, my work is about the disability aesthetic. And basically, I am an academic in the area of human rights at Western Sydney University. And I talk about disability. The critical theory in disability studies is that disability actually occurs at the interface, at the point of interaction between people. You see, it's very interesting. With my physical being, right, the dwarfism, that I go to certain cultures and I just blend into the crowd. I am literally just a member of the general public. But here in my home country, in Australia, I walk down the street and I'm never nobody. I'm looked at, I can be stared at, I can be commented upon. I can, unfortunately, be verbally abused. And all I'm doing is walking down the street.
Very ably walking down the street.
Yes. And I have often said to people, all I want to do is just walk down the street in peace. I can do that in some cultures. Therefore, because there are cultural differences in the way I am treated, I am responded to, that indicates that, for me, in some cultures, I am absolutely not disabled. I'm free.
Do you perceive that to be an average height thing in that culture, or more of an acceptance?
An acceptance, a level of comfort with difference.
In the awkward conversation, the one-on-one conversations, do you open the conversation with the subject? I'd say you call a spade a spade.
Oh,
do
yes.
You?
Yes.
Give me
yes,
an
do.
Example of how you would open that awkward conversation.
Well, the first thing I'm intending to do is to make it a very eye-to-eye, face-to-face, sitting down, but then getting off the chair, and I'm stood up, but I'm still face-to-face with the person who is sat down. That produces a very interesting dynamic, to be sat down, and you're actually face-to-face with somebody who is stood up. And that opens the door for conversations.
Yes.
what I also wish to do is to talk about names. You know, the introduction, my name is Deborah, but you may know me by other words. And let's talk about labels. Let's talk about the words that are used and the feelings, the emotions that attach to those words. And when we use labels and when we grow out labels, why do we do so? Let's take, for example, in my situation, people say to me, and you can see by their nonverbal behaviour, their level of comfort or discomfort with the topic, and so how do I refer to you? And I go, by my name. Yes, of course I refer to you by your name, but how do I refer to you? Your,
as in Dr. Keenan?
Yes, Dr. Keenan. How do, or if you wish another label. Yes, of course, but how do I refer? And I say, what you're talking about is my physical being. Yes. And I say, I have achondroplasia dwarfism. Can I use the word dwarf? Yes. Oh, you're okay with that? Yes. Oh, why? Because, well, that's the term. That's the medical. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have no problems with that. Oh, but don't call me a midget. Because that has very negative connotations. And it's interesting, in the street, when I am verbally abused, that's the term that's always used.
It's the equivalent of nigger.
Yes, without exception. And the interesting thing is, it always is preceded with an expletive. Usually, yeah. A four-letter, yes.
Directed at you?
Oh, directed at me. Yes, as if I don't know my physical being. Oh, yes. And always very aggressively. It's like also a desire for attention on themselves.
Mm.
Because it's always yelled, and it's always usually yelled from a distance.
Well, what is interesting for you, presumably, many people who have the same physical condition, dwarfism, would not be able to couch it in academic terms or psychological terms. You have the framework to make these observations in a very objective way. Many other people with achondroplasia would just roll up and be very, very emotionally hurt, I imagine.
Well, not necessarily. That is quite often a stereotype, with all due respect, that there is a point of we all manage, you know. We manage, we survive, we thrive in this hostile environment. How each of us does so varies. For example, for me, I manage through talking with my partner about it, or talking with my daughter who also has achondroplasia, or with my artwork, or with my writing. And for me, doing things like I am doing now, to me, it's important to educate,
yes,
to reach out so that I can pave the way and assist. In doing this, I'm helping others. I'm helping my daughter. I'm helping my friends. Yes, and that's important to me, to know that I am possibly doing something that is making it that little bit easier for somebody else.
And you've got the skills and the experience to do that.
Yes.
You're a very accomplished woman, used to speaking publicly.
Publicly,
and
yes.
You've got a good assertive personality, and so the package of that allows you to get the message across very
clearly. To engage with people in areas and at times when a lot of people find it difficult.
Yeah.
They have difficulty with coming face to face with negative attitudes. That can be testing, but it's at that point. That is the critical point of making a difference, addressing the attitude and hopefully engaging it and shifting the fear.
Thank you so much, Deborah. Very interesting to hear your story.
You have just been listening to AbleQuest, a program that looks at developments in assistive technology. From Barbara Sullivan and Marnie Roper, thank you for listening and goodbye till next program.